So tonight I'm going to read some of the words of Dogen from a book that is not very well known. It's called Minding Mind, A Course in Basic Meditation. It's actually translations of rather unknown or obscure Zen masters, except for one. The one Zen master that anyone would recognize, of course, in this book is Dogen. And it's a brief treatise by Dogen. This is translated by Thomas Cleary. And this writing by Zen Master Dogen was one of his early writings. So it was not too long after he returned to Japan from China. And just to say a little bit about Dogen, he lived in the 13th century, so it was somewhere in the 1200s. Just to go back a little ways, Zen started in China, and it started in the early 700s. So we're talking about 500 years later, and perhaps there were even earlier forms of Buddhism in China starting around 500. A.D. So Dogen was born into a wealthy family, and he was being groomed to have some high position in the government, and was trained intensively in Confucianism, which was a required field of study for Japanese youth who were going to be leaders in the society, particularly political leaders. At some point he lost interest. He tripped over, kind of like we all did, tripped over Buddhism, found it somehow. It wasn't very big in Japan at that time. It was just finding a foothold. And he decided to drop his studies of Confucianism and drop his intention to have a high government position and make his wealthy family happy, and wanted deeply to study Buddhism. And this eventually led him to spend 5 years, I believe he left as a teenager, a very young adult, 5 years in China under a Zen master there. I forget the name of the master. So he came back to Japan, and as a result of what he realized and his brilliant mind, his ability to write with so much depth, and his excellent teaching skills, he became the founder. I don't think at the time he intended to do this, but one of the two major schools of Zen left, Japanese Zen, Soto, was derived from the teachings of Dogen, and also another master, I think he was Chinese, and he was called Tozan Ryokai, and Tozan Ryokai, I believe it is, was the originator of the five ranks. So between Tozan and Dogen, this school of Zen called Soto evolved. So this was one of his early writings, and I want to not read the whole thing, it's not that long, but I want to start on what is very pithy in this and really look deeply into it. Right here now we have five people with a great deal of experience in Zazen, and I think what Dogen says here is extremely helpful, particularly to students who have been sitting for a long time. So I'm going to read this, and the title of it is A Generally Recommended Mode of Sitting Meditation. So you can see that this is the early days of the introduction of Zazen and the Zen method into Japan by Dogen. So I'll read it, and I'm going to interrupt myself frequently to comment on his words and point out the important teaching points in these words. So it starts like this. The way, and it's capitalized, the way is fundamentally complete and perfect, all-pervasive. How could it depend upon cultivation and realization? The vehicle of the source is free. Why expend effort? The whole being is utterly beyond defiling dust. Who would believe in a method of wiping it clean? The great whole is not apart from here. Why go some place to practice? So you ask these questions. These are for Dogen, the fundamental driving questions that led him to China. He had deep faith in the teachings of Buddhism, the most fundamental of which is all beings have Buddha nature. But he couldn't understand why, if this is so true and original and intrinsic, not gained from the outside, not attained through a variety of practices and incantations and rituals, as so many religions teach, that if you do A, B, and C, you'll get to Z. Say 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers, whatever it might be. In each religion, they have their own particularities. These set of actions and prayers and things you need to do in order to transform what is a fundamentally flawed being into someone who may possibly be allowed through the gates of heaven after death. And Buddhism didn't teach this. And Dogen had a profound question. He wanted to know, and this was what he called his Genjo koan, meaning the koan of his life, this root question, this driving question. He wanted to know, why, if all of us intrinsically our Buddha, our Buddha, did all the enlightened beings have to struggle so hard to come to awakening? And this was his profound Genjo koan. He asked his master about this when he was in China. Struggled with this question very deeply. His master one day said to him, in answer, why did they have to strive so hard? Master said, because they were conscious of their enlightenment. Because they were conscious of their enlightenment. What does it mean to be conscious of something? To be conscious of means to take a subjective position in relationship to something. Conscious of. The of is the dividing line. The of is the chasm between the conscious being and what is known. This is the action of knowing. So the master said they had to struggle so hard because they were conscious of their enlightenment. Well, let's go on. So Dogen now makes this statement following this depiction of his Genjo koan. He said, nevertheless, the slightest discrepancy is as the distance between sky and earth. As soon as aversion and attraction arise, you lose your mind in confusion. Even though you may boast of comprehension and wallow, I like this word, wallow in understanding, having gotten a glimpse of insight, and though you find the way and understand the mind, inspired with the determination to soar to the skies, although you may roam freely within the bounds of initial entry, you are still somewhat lacking in a living road of emancipation. So he... Now, says that even if you have some measure of awakening, you have to still practice hard. You're still not there. You're still somewhat lacking, he puts it this way, somewhat lacking in the living road of emancipation, to free yourself. It's not enough to simply understand something, get something, awaken to something. It can be endlessly deepened, expanded, while one's own, what we might call defilements, habit patterns, attachments, aversions, gradually drop away. And this is why this generally recommended mode of sitting meditation is so important. So this is a dialectical way that Dogen would present ideas, show one side and the other side. There's nothing that you need to do, it's already done. Why are you doing anything? And even though you have awakening, you must continue to practice because you're still lacking on a living road of emancipation. So now he gives some examples of this. He says, even Gautama Buddha, who had innate knowledge, sat upright for 6 years. This is a noteworthy example. When referring to the transmission of the mind seal at Shaolin, we know who he's talking about now, the fame of 9 years facing a wall is still mentioned. That was Bodhidharma, first Zen patriarch. Since the ancients did so, why should people today not do so? He's pointing to these examples, these illustrious examples. They practice very, very hard, even though intrinsically they already were Buddha. Therefore, you should stop the intellectual activity of pursuing words and chasing sayings, and should learn the stepping back of turning the light around and looking back. I'm going to say that again. You'll hear these words from so many of the ancient masters, let's call them. Read it again. Including the compiler of the Hekigan Roku, Yuan Wu, or Engo. These were his words as well. So I'm going to read this again. Therefore, you should stop the intellectual activity of pursuing words and chasing sayings, and should learn the stepping back of turning the light around and looking back. Body and mind will naturally be shed, and the original countenance will become manifest. This original countenance, or one's original face, sometimes said one's original face before even one's parents were born. You have to go back even before that. What was your original countenance? And he says, by turning the light around and looking back, this will naturally become manifest. So every serious student of Zazen needs to know immediately and be able to do this quickly. Don't waste time thinking. Let go of the thinking. He says here, stop the intellectual activity pursuing words and chasing sayings in your Zazen. Words, ideas, concepts, trying to figure out your koan, whatever it might be. He's saying you need to learn to step back and turn the light around and look back, looking back. So he goes on and talks about exactly how to sit. And we won't go into this because we all know how to do that. Sitting upright, spreading a thick mat, finding a quiet room. And remember, these were instructions to people who had never done Zazen, had never heard of Zazen. And he, after 5 years of intensive training in Chan Buddhism in China, was a master of Zazen. So now he answers how to do this. He said this turning the light around and looking back. And this is very famous. These are famous words by Dogen. So he says here, after describing how to do zazen, he says, think of what does not think. How do you think of what does not think? It is not thinking. Another way this is translated is, think the thought of not thinking. So when he says, think the thought, use your mind. It's an action. It's an intent action. Think the thought of non-thinking. Think the thought of not thinking. We all know how to do that. This is really the essence of a particular practice that Dogen promoted greatly and is the core of Soto Zen. It's Shikantaza, it's thinking the thought of not thinking. And he says, what is this thought of not thinking? He said, it is not thinking. Another master once said, in answer to this question, what is the thought of not thinking? He said, the oak tree in the garden. Another master said, dried dung wiping stick, hot buns, 3 pounds of flax. Thinking the thought of not thinking. Beautiful poem that's in one of the koan in the Hekigan Roku. Blooming mountain flowers are like a golden brocade. Brimming mountain waters are blue as indigo. Is there any thinking there? So by turning back, what are we turning away from? Remember this answer of Dogen's master. Why did these great bodhisattvas have to struggle so hard to find something intrinsic? And he said, because they were conscious of enlightenment. So when we don't turn the light back, when we're looking out, we see a divided world. See a world of things. Each has its name, each is separate, each has a purpose, and there's an entity with characteristics that we call me, or answer by name if someone calls out to its body, and believe that that is experiencing the world, seeing the world, hearing the world. Now, when you turn the light back, or think the thought of not thinking, you're going before that whole activity, before the mind is engaging and splitting up the world, looking out. So in the Heart Sutra, they talk about no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, no color, sound, smell, taste, touch. You may see something. There may be a sound. There may be a sensation. Yet at the same time, you're blind, you're deaf. There's no one there to feel anything. This is just. So it's through this penetrating backward step, as Yuan Wu puts it, turning the light back, that one begins to manifest the original countenance. Manifested. When it manifests, when it bursts out from this darkness. Remember, Uman said, everyone has his own light, but when you try to find it, all is darkness. When it manifests, the world comes into view. just. And this is the same as what the Heart Sutra says. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. Just. Turn the light back away from the constructed self that encounters the world into what is intrinsic, original, before even your parents were born. We have to know how to do this in Zazen. We need to not waste time in Zazen. Go immediately to that step. Immediately. This is the essence of Zazen, the core of Zazen. So, he said, what I call sitting Zen meditation is not practice of dhyana. So dhyana, I think at that time, a lot of Buddhist practice, and this is probably what he learned before he went to China and learned Zen practice, was trying to enter states of bliss. So chasing after, trying to induce a pleasant experience, which is so often the error made by students of Zen when they don't understand how to take this backward step. Zazen becomes a means of chasing after an experience, trying to find an experience, because that experience, like any ritual, prayer, incantation, is going to take your sorry self and turn it into a Buddha. And that's the mistake. So he says here, what I call sitting Zen meditation is not practice of dhyana. It's just a method of comfort, a practical way of experiencing thoroughgoing investigation of enlightenment. It's funny how he says this. There's a bit of humor here. It is just a method of comfort, practical way of experiencing thoroughgoing investigation of enlightenment. Objective reality becomes manifest beyond any trap. If you can get the meaning of this, you will be like dragons taking to the water, like tigers in the mountain. So, in other words, you will be swimming in it. You will be in your element. You will no longer be standing apart. Just like his teacher said, conscious of your enlightenment. You will no longer be conscious of your original enlightenment. You will be like a dragon taking the water, like tigers in the mountains. You will know that the truth has spontaneously become evident, while oblivion and distraction will already have been overcome. So I think we've read the real pithy parts of this treatise. Let me see if there's anything else here. So this is something that I keep going back to over and over and over. I feel that oftentimes this critical piece of Zazen is, perhaps intentionally, not explicitly mentioned, not explicitly taught. But maybe perhaps allowing the student to find it on their own after many years of struggle, looking out and trying to replicate experiences, trying to find dhyana. This crucial aspect of stepping back, turning the light back, is not taught. So I always try to find opportunities by using the words of the true masters to emphasize this very important piece of Zazen. And I think Dogen does it very well. So we'll end there tonight.